Good morning. Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. Spring cleanup is May 31st, and we're going to start with the pancake breakfast, and everybody's welcome for that. And if you'd like to participate with the food, there's a sign-up sheet at the back there for that. Dennis Matson will be here speaking June 1st, and ladies' Bible study Monday here at the church, 7 o'clock. Men's Bible study at Tom's, Wednesday, 7:30. Friday Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. And Sunday school and adult Bible study is 10 a.m., worship service at 11 on Sunday.
There's no ladies' Bible study this Monday.
No ladies' Bible study. There you go, Tom. Any other announcements?
Special greetings from Fort Fraser, and actually David Latta sends special greetings to everybody here, along with Merlin Shelley, Vernon Wendy, and Butch and Cecile.
Thank you. Amanda?
I sent this out to as many people as I could, but I did want to let everyone know that we'll be having a 50th wedding anniversary for Gerald and Robert on the 5th of July. It's actually 50 years to the day that they were married. All are welcome from the church. I will ask, though, please, that you don't extend the invite beyond the church unless you've spoken with us. We have extended it to others, but we just, for numbers reasons and food and trying to keep capacity, we just want to make sure we're aware of who's coming. So I'd appreciate that. But this will be at the back, and of course, everyone from the church is welcome to come.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests? Ryan will read the psalm this morning, Neil will say the prayer, and Tom will bring us the message, and we'll begin.
It goes beyond. Today's psalm is Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
In prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this week for us, giving us the ability to be here, to worship your name, to gather in your presence. Lord, we ask that you'd be with those who may not be able to gather today, those who, whether it be a sickness or other means that may not be able to gather, pray that you'd be with them and give them strength. We recognize, Lord, that life is short. We only have so much time, and I don't think we all realize just how short that is. So we pray, Lord, that this week you would impress on our hearts that we may not have all the time that we wish, but that we would make that time productive, Lord. That time would be an honor to you, that we would glorify you, and that our life would radiate your name, Lord. I just pray it would be with all those who are struggling and those who may be on beds of sickness and just are really struggling with where they're at in life, Lord. I just pray that you'd be with them. And we pray that, Lord, that your prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is kingdom, power, and glory.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be granted unto you this hour and day of worship through that holy and indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the 12th chapter of Romans, And we'll read the chapter in its entirety. This chapter is a, I never noticed it before, but it did come to me this weekend or this week when I looked at it. It is a, seems like a sister chapter to Ephesians chapter 4. A lot of things in chapter 12 of Romans is in chapter 4 of Ephesians. It ties together. So my thoughts and my, where my brain goes is, how many years was it between the two books that were written, the book of Romans to the Romans and the book of Ephesians to the Ephesians? And there's debate, but it's between 2 and 4 years when Paul wrote these. And then my thought goes to the fact of what part of sanctification was Paul going through at that time. And it's very similar. He's speaking here to more so the Romans, and he's speaking to Christians that have been born from above, that have been transformed, that have been regenerated, because he's calling them brethren here. He's not speaking to people that don't know. And the reason why I say that is because of the first verse. Somebody that does not know Christ will not be able to possibly even entertain the thought of this. So it is important to understand where we're going with this from the beginning is brethren. He's speaking to brethren who have been or are being conformed to the image of his son through that sanctification process. So we'll read it in Jesus' name. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. I will be going You might not get, I'll be going back and forth for different references. There's lots of references here. Bear with me. And if you have your Bible and you need your cell phone to go to the verses, do that, whatever means possible. And I know some people find it difficult from going from one text to another and trying to stay with the flow. And I'll do my due diligence to try to do that. So let's start into it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. What does beseech mean? I urge you, I appeal to you, I plead with you. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'm pleading you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How? By the mercies of God. What does that look like? Well, we have to look, as Christians, how God has been merciful to us. What things has he done to be merciful? We are justified by faith. It's by God's going, sending his son to the cross to die for us and taking on our sin. We are justified by the faith of God, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, number two. Are taken away as far as the east is from the west. We do not look to our sin because God the Father looks to us as saints. Because we have been and are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because of the sacrifice of his Son. God works things for our good in this book in chapter 8. This same book, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why do we love God? Because he loved us first. Why did he love us first? Because he called us before he knew us. So it says here, we know that all things work together for good that to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The group of the called, according to his purpose. We have a purpose because we've been called. And in this text, it's to lay down your, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Well, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, abide in Christ, are part of Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new man has entered. The Holy Spirit dwells. You are being controlled by a different being. The flesh has been crucified with Christ. The old man is under control by the new man. The old man has dominion over the new man has dominion over the old man. Like God says, he gives us dominion over the animals. The new man has dominion over the flesh, the world, and the devil. All things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation? The heart of the Christian has the ministry of reconciliation. Wants everyone to be reconciled to God. But it is exclusive. You have to be Christian. It goes through Christ. The reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation is through Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Because he put them on Christ in Calvary's cross. 3 hours of darkness, he received our sin. And on Resurrection Sunday, we received his perfect righteousness. we have that perfect righteousness of Christ that dwells in us through that Holy Spirit and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, what are we? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ in this world. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. He's beseeching the Corinthians here, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We receive his righteousness. So now we have this idea, a little bit more understanding of it, that we have a body that is an ambassador for Christ. We are living for him, like that song says that we just sung, 2:12. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. And it says, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Chapter 8 of Romans finishes that after verse 28. For whom he didn't foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because God is presenting his bride to his Son in eternity future in heaven. And God is doing the presenting. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove in what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, or perfect work of God. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on whom he hath sent. That's the work, to believe on whom he has sent. And who is he pleased with? I am pleased in whom he has sent. Second Timothy. Chapter 2:19-21. Foundation of the Lord's work. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor, and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The text says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God hath dealt every man the measure of faith." We have a measure of grace, and we have the measure of faith. The heart is no different than the tonsil and the bride. No, the heart isn't more important than the tonsil or the gallbladder. We're all equal in the body of Christ. We all should look to be of low estate. And God is conforming that in you through his word. In Luke chapter 17, it's interesting because it says here, and it seems like a contradiction sometimes, because we're given the measure of faith, but there's no contradiction. Chapter 17, 1 to 5. We got to look at the context here. Then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. You will be offended. You will have enemies, and I will have enemies. But woe unto them through whom they come." Why? Because God will appease. You don't have to. And then it goes into this example. "It was better for them that a millstone were hanged above his neck, he that is cast into the sea, that he should not offend one of these little ones." Children. Children of the faith. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." What's the process? Somebody has trespassed against you. Tell him what he's done wrong. Don't say it's okay. Don't worry about it. Tell him he's done wrong so he feels it. That was wrong. This is how it made me feel. This is how I feel about the situation. If he repents, forgive him. And how many times do you do this? The next verse. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in the day turn again to thee, saying, "I repent," thou shalt forgive. Right? 7 times, the same thing. "I shall forgive." Then it goes into a... "And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith." We're given the measure of faith. And some people might need 16 pounds measure. And some people might need a teaspoon. This is what he's saying, increase my faith. When it talks about the millstone we're hung about, if somebody harms one of these little ones, increase my faith so that I don't absolutely destroy that man that did that. Why? Because it says, so we can have grace. Like the Colossians, in Colossians 4:6. Because we will not have grace if we don't ask to increase our faith in that situation. Colossians 4:4-6. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Without what? They might be without faith. They might be without food. They might be without something, but they're without. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There are situations in life, if you've been given, like probably I'm guessing David has, 3 or 4 pounds of grace because he was a warrior and he fought. And in order for him to give grace, he had to have an extra measure of faith, which is more so. Somebody that is tender-hearted and very tender-hearted might have less of a measure of grace because they're so open to the love of Christ and they just love. So we have the measure of faith and the measure of grace that we have so that we can, but there are certain situations where we'll ask God to increase our measure of faith. The measure is the same, but he maybe gave you an extra cup at the beginning because he knew you were going to run into these situations where you needed to show grace when you didn't. Instead, you acted out and you lashed. But the measure's the same. Some of us have a greater measure. And I think the ones that have a greater measure maybe have a little bit of an anger. But it's a righteous anger. They have a right to be mad if somebody is harmed, especially in the flock. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly, but to also be soberly according to that every measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, says a little bit about this. I'll read 10. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. You are in this category. These are the vocations. You're an apostle, which is a sent out one, a missionary, a prophet, somebody that preaches, evangelist, somebody that markets the good news, a pastor that is leader over a flock of believers and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We all have grace, but it's fit and formed together by the potter so that we have unity in the body. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians 12. This is from verses 4 to 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, that dwells. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, Lord of our life. There is a diversities of operations, but it is the same God which work all in all, the potter. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. All Christians receive the Holy Spirit that indwells. For to one is given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of word and wisdom. Some have more of an understanding of the word and are more wise. To another, the word of knowledge by that same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that same Spirit. Some people will come up and say a word to you and talk to you, and you will feel a lot better than you did before. Because they have the gift of healing. They can use the word in a way that hits the mark because they're gifted that way. To to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, which is preaching, to another concerning the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues or languages, and to another the being able to translate languages. Dividing to every man severely as he will. So he that exhorteth in exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, showeth mercy and cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. What is that? You know the most damaging thing a Christian can do? Is be a hypocrite. Do not say what you believe. Do not do what you believe. That's what it's saying here. Be the example, the ambassador for Christ that he wants, that he desires you to be. Because it will happen, because he is going to conform you to the image of his Son. So through his power it will happen. But it's saying here we don't want to be hypocrites. Why? Because if we're a hypocrite, and somebody that doesn't believe sees you as a hypocrite, they look at that and say, I don't want to be any part of Christianity. We want to be in, this is what God is saying in this chapter, we want to be a living sacrifice, the hands and feet of Christ, an ambassador. What does James say in 2:18? And somebody might take this from a legal standpoint, but it's not. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Paul's saying this, or James is saying this. The potter is going to mold me to do good works. I have no doubt about that. I will do good works because I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe in the fact that Jesus died and rose for me. The evidence of faith is you will do good works. The evidence of faith is you will produce fruit. Not because you're doing it, because the Holy Spirit in you is directing it and ordaining it and causing it to happen. Why? Because of the mercies of God. He was merciful to you, merciful to me, by justifying us, by sanctifying us, by predestinating us, by conforming us to the image of his Son. We are more Christ-like now than we were yesterday, not because of our work, but because of his work in us. He is the potter. He's forming in us the Christ-like attitude. And it says, hey, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. I know some people don't like the word hate. These six things that the Lord hate, let that sink in. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And most of us have had this. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Do we abhor evil? Love what God is doing with us through his sanctification. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The most beautiful verse in the Bible, or verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through Christ might be saved. It is exclusive. It's the Christians that get saved. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What does that look like? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing of God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Put your whole heart into it, as to the Lord, as he is your Lord. Everything you do unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive a reward of an inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve, the Lord Christ. So we're not slothful in business, we're fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The tools of warfare. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, the bride of Christ, the saints. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that I said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him to the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have the other also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go two. But I say unto you in the 44th, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain unto the just and to the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what is your reward? What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in Christ is perfect. How are we perfect? We're perfect by the work of the cross. We've been imputed his righteousness. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate. Lower yourselves. Be not wise in your own conceits. Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. God will take care of this. We don't have to. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing so, you shall help heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with of evil, but overcome evil with good. I've said this many times, it's in different conversations. And God is so quick to correct us. And it's the thought is this. Everybody gets a star today, right? You don't have to work for it. Everybody gets a star. Everybody's a winner, right? The thought is they don't work for it. They just, everybody wins. That's the attitude of today's society. Everybody, you get to win. Everybody gets a trophy. And I just thought, that's just so, it's not building anything up. They're not working for anything. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not, the kids are just getting rewarded for doing nothing. Kind of like us. Right? The reason why we don't have faith, the reason why we do have faith, I should say, because God granted it to us. The reason why we were granted faith is because God is gracious. The reason why God is gracious is and grace enters a heart is because somebody is broken, lowly, and contrite. The reason why you're broken, lowly, and contrite is because God has allowed you to be that way. We don't deserve a star. We don't deserve a trophy. We don't deserve eternal life. But we did nothing to accomplish it. Now, I'm not saying that we should promote the idea of give everybody a star and a trophy. I'm just saying when we judge, like I judge wrongly, God will correct me. Why? Because I am His. He will correct us when we need correcting. And He will give us the grace to do so. And when we don't have the grace to do so and we're getting really angry at the situation, the prayer will be, increase my faith. I don't want to say something or do something that I will regret. Because He's already given me the measure that's necessary. And He does not want us to act out of vengeance or wrath. Because God's wrath was appeased at the cross. We have no excuse. This text is, you could take it and say, how do I possibly do it? How do I possibly do it correctly? You've already asked the question that's wrong. It's not how do I possibly do it. It's how is God doing it through that clay vessel for His kingdom and for His glory so that people can be drawn to that person because they have the Holy Spirit inside them. It's not that how do I do it. Your body will be presented a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, this will happen because God is presenting the bride pure, holy, and blameless to His Son. We are part of it. But He is giving us the means through that Holy Spirit to do His will in His kingdom, and to do it with grace, mercy, and peace, and all-encompassing at the same time, we are all at rest in the work of the cross. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord lift up His face upon thee, shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 336.